Grief came to me like a monster, and I felt like my hands were tied. The news came after I climbed the stairs home after a long, exhausting day. I found so many of my loved ones gathered in my uncle's apartment, crying, making frantic phone calls. At first, I didn't understand, but then I heard someone say, "Al-Shifa Hospital is." It was like that monster stabbed me with a knife. I know I had lost someone from my family. In a voice trembling with fear, I asked, "Who?" They answered, "Your Aunt Nihad has been martyred." I couldn't process the news, but I remained calm at first. I had to tell my father. How would I tell him that his sister had been killed? I don't know how. I climbed the stairs to our apartment to face my family. I kept repeating the news to myself. I still hadn't grasped it. I told my mother. She cried out in a broken voice, "No." This new reality could not be. But the news kept echoing in my head without pause. I remained in that state for 5 days until I finally realized I would never see her again. He would not visit her during Eid. She would never sit on that couch again. She would never smile at us again. Her face is still etched in my eyes, and it will stay with me forever. Loss, fear, and death have never left me since you separated, my dear aunt. I can't control my fear.
Okay, first, thanks for having me here. I am Noor. As you mentioned, and as I wrote in my zine, I'm a business administration student. Working as a social media manager, and I'm a writer also. And I'm also working as an art facilitator, trying to help the children how to express their feelings through writing and drawings. And I'm 22 years old. I've finished 3 years of my university journey under the genocide and under a tent. I'm now finishing my last years in the university. And yeah, this is Noor.
And where are you at this moment?
Right now, I'm on the Gaza City, which is not on the north and not on the south. I'm living in my second home. I have two homes, one that have pumped, and the second one is I'm living in, but it's like partially damaged. But it feels like better than the living in a tent after I left through 7 months in a tent on the south.
You lived in a tent, I think, in Almawasi.
I lived in the tent in Khan Yunis area, which is called Al-Gharara seaport. I lived there for 7 months. And then after the Israeli orders, we can go to Gaza, we left the tent and came here to home. It wasn't that much easy to live in the home, that because there wasn't water, there wasn't electricity, there wasn't anything that can help you to live in a home as like we used. But step by step and day by day, we tried to make it a place that we can live in.
And tell me about the situation with your family. Are you married? Do you have a partner? Do you have children? How many people in your family have people in your family perished in the course of Israel's genocide that began in October?
Yeah, we are four members living in the home. I'm not married. I'm single. I'm living with my father and my mother and my twin brother, Muhammad. Alhamdulillah, we didn't. The sad thing that happened to us, which is my aunt, we lost my aunt during the war. She was heading to her work, and an airstrike bombed nearby a charging point, and she got like a shrapnel in her head, and she got martyred. And I guess he was in a grief came to me like a minister. I wrote this piece after listening the news of my aunt, and it was the hardest piece I wrote, that because I was trying to understand what happened, and it was like a shock. It wasn't just like I was like trying to say that it's a lie. It's not. It's not happening. This is my aunt. So I choose to write about this that could maybe help and maybe help me heal my pain and help me at the same point to tell the world that we are all.
Can you tell me about the Gaza Great Minds School?
Yeah, I can, of course. Yeah, okay. We are recording right now, so
yes,
yeah, I can
yes.
go ahead. Yeah, okay. About Gaza Great Minds, it's a school here in Gaza. It started as an initiative started by Ahmed Abu Rizek. He's the founder of Gaza Great Minds. And I was helping Gaza Great Minds on October 2024. I started to volunteer with them as an IG coordinator, trying to post the stories of the children, the photographs of them and the videos, trying to tell the world how do the children of Gaza and the student have the gap of the education, and how we are just like trying to help them, to give them the education that they, every child they deserve to be sitting in a classroom, giving them the education and trying to make a space for them, like to remind them that they are children again. So, and I'm now also helping them as a social media coordinator with the school, trying to tell the world about them and like to give them like everything that every child deserves in this world.
And do they actually, is there a school, a space with four walls and a ceiling that they gather in, or are they gathering in a tent?
No, it's a school made from canvas. It's like a tent school, let me say, yes. And they are studying, they have a chairs, they have desk in the sand. And it's just like that because, you know, all the schools here in Gaza, it became as a shelters. People are taking them as a shelter, living in them. That because there is like all of Gaza, it's full of damage. And they, a lot of people, they lost their homes and they are living in tents. So, yeah, that's why Gaza Great Minds resist here.
And what are they learning in their school? What are the teachers teaching them? How many teachers are there?
They are around 15 to 20, yes, and they are teaching English, Arabic, math, and we are having some extra activities like book club, an English conversation course, and also we are connecting the children through the outside world with, there's the last activity that we are still going on with, which is we are connecting them with a professor. She's in Canada, like to listen to them and to get to know what is the emotion and what they are still going through, and making some writings to her and drawings. So like it's like feel there's someone here to listen to them.
You say there were 15 of them. Were you saying there are 15 teachers or there are 15 students?
15 teachers.
And how many students?
Gaza Great Minds, it was like it held more than 5,000 students, but right now we are having, I guess, 500 students to 700. Yeah. On the Gaza Great Minds school, which is in Palestine Stadium, but they are having another school called Al Hayat School, but we are helping them as like for with the logistic things, and also there is some tents school Gaza Great Minds was helping them, but they got bombed, and also they forced to leave the tents. Behind them, that because of the displacement order and what happened on the north, which is in Tell el-Za'atar, there was a tent school, and also in the south. But the team in the south came on the north, and like they gathered as a team here in Gaza, and they built the Gaza Great Minds school and the Palestine Stadium in Gaza.
What's the state of mind of these children? How are they coping? And there have been recent reports. I mean, these reports are long-standing, but most recently, United Nations expert reported group of them that the Israeli forces are intentionally targeting children, which is not something that's a surprise. We've known this for years, that they're intentionally targeting children. They're aiming for their heads, they're aiming for their abdomens, and they're killing them intentionally. So how are they coping? Like, these are kids who've seen, witnessed their own little friends and their siblings killed, and they themselves have been injured. How are they coping? Talk about this.
Okay, actually, Gaza Great Minds lost students during the war. There were students where they are coming to the school and they got targeted from a plane, and also from Charbonnel, and also they died, they got martyred with their families. But in the school where GGM is, we are trying to give them a psychological support, helping them like with these things and with the trauma, helping them to heal. But you know, it's not enough that because of the place that we are living in, it's still a war zone, and the bombing is still happening. That because the ceasefire it didn't end, you know. So, but as a school, we are trying our best to do this, to help them heal their pain, and to help them, like reminding them that they are children again, and to help them read again.
And can you describe some of the ways in which they behave that kind of reveals the trauma that they've gone through?
Let me share something about there is a girl, her name is Hala. She's the journalist of our school. We call her the GGM correspondent. She lost her brother during the war, and they saved her from under the rubble, and she's always telling us about this, and she's always telling us about her home that she lost and her brother. And at GGM, we help her, like, to we encouraged her to report for our school and to tell the world why, like, she telling the world what is happening at GGM. For example, we made a GGM cinema at the school, and we told Hala that we want you to cover this event, or to cover this cinema day for the girls. So she came and started the video with her like innocent and with her positivity, and she covered this and what happened during the tent school. We are making a cinema, and her behavior is like, she's happy that because she's studying at the school, and she made a drawing actually, how was her life before the war, like in the war, and how was like she was just like trying to thinking about what happened to her and how she lost her home, her brother. And after she joined the GGM school, she feel happy that there is a space she can do the things that she love. I can share those drawings with you, by the way, after the interview.
And of course, I'm speaking with Noor Abu Maryam, Noor Arif. She's in Gaza City at the moment, talking about GGM. This is Gaza Great Minds School. Noor, tell me about yourself, how you're coping and your writing. You're using writing as a form of therapy for you, isn't it? And you talk about your butterfly. What is this butterfly of which you speak?
Yeah, a lot of people, they are asking about why waiting for the butterfly. What is the butterfly? Okay, first, I'm Noor, and I joined, I started to write since the first day of displacement in Rafah. But I didn't choose to publish my writings till I listened the news of Mido, my friend Mido Al-Halimi. He got martyred like when he was doing his assignment for the university, and he got a shrapnel in his head and he died. So after this news, it wasn't easy for me, that because I said to myself that, okay, so I'm writing and I'm not sharing it with anyone, and no one knows who's Noor and what she is doing and what she's going through in this war. So I decided to share, and I started with sharing a piece, an article about Mido with Impulse magazine, A World Without Mido, when I did an interview with Mido's friends while they were with him when that happened to him, and tried to cover what he was helping, and he was using his platform in Instagram to tell the world how he is coping with what we are going through, and how he is living in a tent and doing like the laundry, doing the food for his family, and trying to charge his devices. So he was just like trying to cover this suffering. It was a small suffering that we are repeating it every day, as like it became as our routine in a tent, in a place that the heat is killing us there. So I wrote about him, and I tried to tell the world who's Mido and what he was doing. Also, after Mido's got martyred, I started to write for We Are Not Numbers. I started with the Invisible Heroes, which is also, it's included in my zine. After a long days that sitting in my tent without having any goal to what I will do this time, and my university didn't announce about the classes or the online classes, I was just like a girl without a goal living in a tent. So I decided to gather a group of girls in my tent and like talking with them, trying to help them to write and to take their thoughts and putting it as a writing, or also in drawings. And there was a four girls there, Ru'a and Iman, and also there was Kohn, and I forget the last name. But they were so talented girls. But after a 1 week, we received a displacement order, and all of us separated, and we didn't know where like to go, just like searching for a safe place to go. So then I discovered that I had their drawings with me, so I shared them, and I shared how like every single one of them, they are thinking and their fear, they are missing their homes, and they want to go to Gaza, and they want to see their homes. So I tried to cover them, to cover their thoughts and to cover their fear, to tell the world what is the children of Gaza are going through.
So where does the butterfly come in?
Okay, so the butterfly, it's since the first day of war, I was trying to go outside Gaza, which is like to continue my education. That because I was in my first term, second year in the university. So I thought that this war will not help me to continue and like to go to achieve my dreams and achieve my goals. But I was trying, but it didn't happen. So the butterfly is waiting for the butterfly to come to me and to take me from here and to help me to go to achieve my dreams. So yeah, this is the reason why like I titled it with Awaiting for the Butterfly. And I'm still waiting for the butterfly, by the way.
If I see the butterfly, I'll tell her about you and send her your way.
Yes, please.
In your thing, it's kind of like part prose, part poetry, coffee and patience. You write, I feel like patience was made for us, the people of Gaza, who know how to endure. Do we only know how to endure? We've been holding on for 2 years now. So you wrote, do we only know how to endure? What else would you do other than enduring? Is there something else you could do?
Okay, so this writings that came to me while living on the starvation, actually. I was living on the starvation and trying to search for a cup of coffee or a cup of tea filled with sugar. That because sugar was not allowing to enter Gaza at that time, nor anything, any type of food. So we were forced to to be patient with this, and like I was just like trying to say I'm not studying in my university, I'm not eating good, and I'm not living the life that I was planning to live. So these lines came with from this thoughts.
It's the million-dollar question, of course, is what's going to become of Gaza? Gaza is in ruins. 90% of the buildings have been destroyed. Israel has apartheid, genocidal. Israel has seized what, almost half of Gaza from top to bottom, and it's completely bulldozed and leveled everything on the eastern side of Gaza. So Gaza's surviving what, 2.1 million people. I say 2.1 million people. It used to be before the war 2.3 million people. 75,000 formally dead, but there may well be more. So Gaza's in ruins. The UN Security Council has handed over Gaza to Donald Trump, to his Board of Peace, which is, it's like out of George Orwell. It's completely. I mean, they're never going to reconstruct Gaza. So, what's going to become of Gaza? I mean, of course, who knows? But do you have an image or a vision of what's going to happen to Gaza? Do you think the people of Gaza will be able to somehow rise up and survive and be steadfast, stay where they are and rebuild and survive? What's your vision?
Okay, so for me as a Gazan, and I lived through like a five wars in Gaza, we are all the Gazans. Let me say that we are like the phoenix, so we are just like trying to make life from nothing.
The Phoenix.
So yeah, the phoenix, yes. So I'm sorry for the misspelling. So okay, so just like all of us, we lived through a lot of wars, but this last war, it was different. It was full of displacement, starvation, and everything that was like really making us feel we will not live We will not live this the 2 days that is coming. So for me now, I'm just like, I don't have the view to, like, I'm just like thinking for like what I will be doing the next day. So I don't have the vision to what will happen the next year. I'm just like, as a youth here in Gaza, I'm just thinking how to escape from here, like, because I'm studying online right now. So I studied online. I don't have courses. I finished my bachelor degree. So I'm just planning how to evacuate from here and to continue my dreams outside. So as I am, I'm thinking like this. But at the same point, it's our land. Yes, I know that. And we should rebuild it. And we should help, like, to make it Gaza we know. But for me, if you are asking me this question, I don't know what will happen, and I don't know if we can rebuild it due to that the crossings are closed right now and they are not entering the items that we need to rebuild a home here, and the prices are also increasing, and it's insane actually.
So your first zine was called Waiting for the Butterfly. When's your next one coming out, and will it be called Waiting for the Butterfly too? Is that the title of your zine? When's the next edition coming out?
Yeah, okay. So the next edition, it will be, it will not be Waiting for Butterfly, I guess, yes. I was trying to journal what was happening to me from the first day of displacement in Rafah. I was displaced in a home with, like, for my relatives, and they welcomed me in this home. So at that time, I was feeling like I'm a stranger here. It's not my land. It's not my home. It's not my room. So I started to journal and write about what I'm feeling and what is happening with me, and also I was using writing as my friend. Like, I'm telling my friend what is happening to me, that because everyone around me wasn't feel like they wanna listen. That because everyone is feeling fear, they don't know what will happen the next hour. So yeah, so that's why I choose to write. And the second zine will be this journaling, but I didn't think about a title or something. Yeah.
Noor Abu Mariam is a poet and zine publisher based in Gaza, one of 38 members of the Zines from Gaza Collective. Coastal Lines is a creative writing and fundraising venture facilitated by a global network of illustrators and distributors. Like Vessels at Sea, Coastal Lines says at their website, Gaza zines travel from coast to coast, drawing lines of human connection and solidarity. We'll link to Coastal Lines and to Noor's zine at greenplanetmonitor.net. You can donate there. That's it for today's GPM. A joint production of Earth Chronicle Productions and 93.3 CFMU-FM Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Listen to, read, and watch more Earth stories at greenplanetmonitor.net. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Blueberry, and on Canada's Harbinger Media Network. I'm David Kattenberg, over and out for now.
You're listening to CGSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia. Hey, do you want to make a real impact in the Black community? Join us where we connect you with Black-led organizations from all around the world. Get ready to get involved. Find the organization based on the location of interest. Follow us at supportblackcharities.org.